In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this Sunday we find ourselves on the eve of the feast of a truly great saint. Perhaps most of you are aware that I am speaking of that model of priestly piety, zeal, and humility whose feast Holy Mother Church has reserved for the eighth day of the month of August, Saint Jean Marie Vianney. Our saint seemed predestined for holiness from his very earliest years. The fourth son of a humble country family, he would often go out to welcome travelers into the family home for a night's rest and meal, bringing their torn garments to his mother for mending and rendering them many other services. Around the time he reached the age of reason, the churches of France were being shut down because of the revolution. Priests were being banished, and this was a heavy cross for the young but already pious child. And in his zeal, already at this young age, he took up the task of catechizing the other children of his village, preaching ardent sermons, and organizing processions. During this time of persecution of the church, he became acquainted with many worthy priests who were intent on continuing their ministry of saving souls despite the restrictions imposed on them by the government and the risk to their own lives in doing so. It was by these priests that he would be prepared clandestinely for his first Holy Communion. Being an extremely diligent and painstaking worker, and owing to his profound meekness of character, he was a favorite at home among his siblings and among his classmates. Even those of his peers who made little effort to practice the virtues, John's purity of heart so impressed them that they would cease any inappropriate conversation whenever he approached. When the time came for him to begin his seminary formation, the saint found himself in the somewhat uncomfortable position of being significantly older than his peers, owing to the disruption in his studies brought on by the revolution. His priestly formation was once interrupted when he was conscripted into Napoleon's army for the war with Spain. One day, he was accidentally separated from his company, from his comrades, while praying in church. And he met a man who offered to guide him back to his company, but the man actually led him to a village where a number of deserters had gathered. And there, the village mayor persuaded the saint to remain, living under an assumed name. Now, he ended up spending 14 months in this little village and then had to endure the embarrassment of telling his father what really happened, a conversation which caused the older Vianney no small amount of irritation. Once it resumed, his seminary formation only prolonged his trials, for he was, though not unintelligent, of average intelligence. And because of the limitations on his early schooling, he found the courses exceedingly difficult. He wasn't able to follow them in Latin, but had to revert to instruction in his native French. His superiors at the seminary, however, paired him with a roommate of considerable academic abilities who took pains to help him, and thus aided, he was able to persevere in his formation towards the priesthood. And he was ordained in the month of August in 1815. Now, when he began his assignment as pastor of the small parish church of Arles, he quickly realized that there was a great religious indifference prevailing there, present largely because of the upheaval of the revolution. And when he arrived, no one from among the faithful came forward to greet him. Daily Mass in the little village of Arles was only attended by a few elderly women, and for the most trivial pretexts, the men would neglect their Sunday obligation. No one attended Sunday Vespers, though the cafes of the village were always filled at this hour. Even the most devout of the women approached the sacraments only rarely, while the men, through human respect, would neglect their Easter duty altogether. One man even implored the saint to give him Holy Communion in the sacristy so that no one would see him. All kinds of servile work were performed by the village inhabitants on Sunday, and at harvest time, the carts and wagons would be used all Sunday long, carting souls to hell, as the pastor of Ars put it. It took years for the spiritual atmosphere of the country to regain its zeal, but it did indeed, and thanks largely to the never-ending efforts of this holy and humble pastor. The parish of Ars became known as a model for all of France. The spirit of religion was revived there. Public worship was restored, and Sundays were respected and honored with a renewed fervor. The saint was assiduous in visiting the parishioners in their homes. Whenever the occasion presented itself, he would turn the conversation to supernatural things, while never becoming insistent. He always remained affable, never becoming impatient, never reproving, even when it would have been justified to do so. It was his gentleness of manner which eventually won over the hearts of his flock. Many a sleepless night he spent preparing his Sunday sermons, and though he never possessed the gift of oratory, he spoke easily, earnestly, and convincingly, to the point that the pilgrims ultimately poured in to the small village of Ars every year, sometimes as many as 20,000 souls a year. This good pastor recognized the importance of offering God the most beautiful liturgy possible. And so he sought and received financial aid to beautify and decorate the little parish church of Ars, in particular with new vestments and sacred vessels. The charity of this saintly pastor was widely known, and the gifts of food, of clothing, and of other supplies meant for his rectory promptly found their way into the hands of the poor. For himself, he kept only a small portion of the food he was given, just enough to ward off starving to death. And even this was frequently given away to some poor person who came asking for sustenance. When his relatives or other visitors came to see him, he took pains to provide them with a meal, and under no circumstances, however, would he make his own mortifications and sacrifices known to others. And as with food, this saint also frequently divested himself of articles of clothing sent to him as gifts, being accosted one day by a poor man on the way home, whose feet had no shoes, thus bare and sore. Saint Jean-Marie Vianney gave this man his own shoes and stockings. The saint returned home barefoot. He offered up to God all his mortifications for the eternal welfare of his flock, increasing these every year as Easter would approach, especially if there was ever a question of touching the heart of a hardened sinner. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he would rise to pray the office of Matins, and at 4 o'clock, he would enter the church to pray before the Blessed Sacrament, to offer Holy Mass, and then to teach catechism and hear confessions. Towards the end of his life, he would spend a grueling 16 to 18 hours a day hearing confessions. Now, any true examination of the life and breadth of this great saint and his good works would require far more time than is possible now. But of one thing we can be sure, Saint Jean-Marie Vianney is the model of priestly piety, of humility, and of zeal. Indeed, many other virtues, but perhaps what he is best known for is this abyss of humility, somewhat reminiscent of the humility of our Blessed Mother. And though it is repeated by myself and many other a pastor, seemingly very often, seemingly perhaps too often, the fact of the matter is we can never insist enough on the importance of humility. Humility in our daily lives, humility in the spiritual combat. And there is a combat ahead, dear faithful. And remember, it is the soldiers who fight humbly, who ultimately gain the day. St. John Marie Vianney should thus be for all of us, priests and faithful alike, a source of inspiration for the love of God and the usefulness of mortifications, both corporal and of the heart. Let us be captivated, therefore, by the example of this humble pastor of ours. Saint John Marie Vianney, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.